Amen. Good morning, Frontline. Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning. Good morning, everyone back there. Bless you. Thank you so much. We're just going to turn this time over to the Lord. We want to worship Him and adore Him. Father, we just worship and adore You. We come before You to minister to Your heart, Jesus. We come to lay out everything before You and to let our hearts sing and rise into that beautiful place that You've made available to us in heaven. We just go there right now. We go there right now, and we enter into that most holy place that You prepared for us through the veil of Your flesh, that beautiful torn flesh that You so joyfully allowed as You were taken to the cross willingly. Man, the glory of God put on display that day through the beaten flesh of His only one and only Son. It's beautiful. It's the goodness of God. Jesus being crucified. Our shame on Him. This is the goodness of God. This is the glory of God made clearly displayed. Clearly displayed in the earth. I am this good that I will take every bit of shame off of You and I will put it on My Son where it rightfully belongs. And He will take it into the grave and leave it there. And come back resurrected, virtually unrecognizable by His friends. So filled with heaven's wonder and glory. So beautiful and radiant. Jesus, thank You for making us appear the same way. That if by faith we place our life in You, then we go into the grave. And all the shame stays there. And when Your Holy Spirit breathes on us life, we come out appearing as we've never appeared before, shining bright like the stars. Oh, we bless Your name, Jesus. We love You, 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 Jesus. A thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all who've gone before us and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Jesus, Your name is the highest, Your name is the greatest, Your name it stands above them all, above all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cry, holy, You are living. Song forever to the Lamb. We will sing the song forever and amen. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, You are living. Lifted high, holy,
King of Kings. Holy, you will always be. Holy, holy forever. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name, it stands above them all, above all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name, it stands above them all. Oh, your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name, it stands above them all. Oh, high above all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name, it stands above them all. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Hear your people sing, holy, to the King of Kings.
Worship this morning, feel free to come up front, make your expressions more open if you need to. Just want to welcome you, just want to open up the front to you to worship. If you want to come out from your seats, you can do that.
In the darkness, we were waiting without hope and without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son. Coming and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation. despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side. Knowing this was our salvation, Jesus, for our sake you died. From their tombs, and the angels stood in awe for the souls of all who come to the Father to bestow. Church of Christ was born, then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint. By his blood in your name, in your freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, we praise forever to the King of Kings.
Jesus, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We pour out our hearts to you, Jesus. We open up our hearts and we pour out our love and our affection for you. You have redeemed us from a heavy weight of shame. Our hearts are free. You love us so much. You set our hearts free of shame. We are no longer bound by that shame. We're free. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We have been freed indeed. There's no longer a deed against us. It's done. Our hearts are free of shame. And we feel it because our countenance, the light inside of us, rises. It's the light of Christ. His love made us free. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to continue this morning, reminding ourselves and reminding the powers of, and principalities and those realms of darkness that we are free. That God has literally turned us from ashes into beauty, from dark into light, from shame into glory. This is who we are. Yes, Lord, this is who we are. Your children made alive. Yes, Lord, we've been made alive, fully alive. We are fully alive. Now just say it with me. I am fully alive. I am fully alive. I am fully alive. I am fully alive. Yes, Lord. I searched the world, they couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. And you came along.
And you came along.
Yes, Lord.
Put me back together. Now every desire now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Lord, there's nothing better than you. Lord, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
I'm not afraid.
I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Seen them all, and you still call me friend.
Cause the God of the mountains,
the God of the mountains, is the God of the valleys. And there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again.
No, there's nothing
better than. Lord, there's nothing better than you. Lord, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Lord, there's nothing.
Lord, there's nothing better than you. Lord, there's nothing better than you. Lord, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Turn mourning into dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. Yeah.
Ah. You turn mourning to dancing. You turn beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can.
You turn mourning to dancing.
You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one. You're the only one. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Lord, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you,
Lord. There's nothing.
Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you,
Lord. There's nothing.
Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Yes, Lord. Lord, there is not one thing that I hang my hope on more than you. Just your presence alone. Just the presence of God alone is enough to fill our hearts with hope. It doesn't matter what we go through. It doesn't matter what situations we're going through. Whether they seem impossible or they seem too good to be true. There's nothing more wonderful than the hope that we have because of the presence of Jesus alive inside of us. Ah, Jesus, we are discovering how beautiful you are. Just how wonderful you are. You're so good. You're so good. We are falling so deeply in love with you because you're so good. Our eyes are opening up to who you are. You are good. So good. Oh, you surprise us around every single corner. There's more of you than I can even imagine.
There's nothing better than you. Oh, nothing. Nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. 'Cause you never let me down. You're faithful through generations. So why would you fail now? You won't. I've got my joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. So I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I build my life on Jesus. Yeah, you never let me down. You're faithful in every. season. So why would you fail now? You won't.
Same with me, rain came down.
Was built on you. I'm safe with you. I'm gonna make it through.
Rain came, wind blew. My house is built on you.
On which I stand, when everything around me is shaking, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. 'Cause you never let me down, you're faithful through generations. So why would you fail now? You won't.
And I just feel this very strongly in my heart. There has been decisions that you've made for Christ that have literally changed your generational path. It's so profound. Literally, your family is going to be changed because of what you decided to do. This is so beautiful. Literally, all of heaven is rejoicing because of what you decided to do. This salvation is under the whole household. And I feel this so strongly this morning. What we have done, I literally, in my own life, I can look back four generations and I can begin with what looks like despair, hopelessness and despair. And each generation from that point has become more and more close to Jesus and closer to Him and further away from hopelessness. This is the profound nature of our God who sent His lovely Son to die on a cross of shame so that we could be made brand new and hope could come into our foundations. We are not the same people that we were yesterday. We have been changed into the likeness in His glory. This is our brand new nature. This is our foundation. It is Jesus Christ and Him alone. Oh, the hope that is here this morning. Wow, it doesn't matter what we're going through. It doesn't matter how much we're being shaken. He is the rock and our firm foundation. Oh Jesus, you're so incredibly good. We're gonna sing it again. Rain came and wind blew, but my house was built on you. Yes, Lord. Just play it, Ashley.
On you.
my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, and everything around me shaken. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. You never let me down. You're faithful through generations. So why would you fail now? You won't.
Thank you, Jesus. I bless you, Father. I bless you, Father. I bless you, Father. I bless you, Father. We're going to transition into a time of communion this morning. And as we do, just begin to prepare your heart. God's kindness, He leads us to repentance. And part of that repentance is forgiveness. We've been talking about forgiveness in our home for quite a bit. It's been a theme for many, 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 many months. We're growing in this deeper revelation of forgiveness. There's a nature about God that He's merciful. And part of His mercy is He shows us, He helps us know when we're not right with somebody. And He makes the way for us to be right. And it's very simple. Thank you, Jesus.
Good morning. God laid the scripture on my heart last night when I was asked to do communion. It's found in Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. And this morning while we were praying, I had a picture of a little boy who had fallen off his bike and he was hurt. And I've just been asking the Lord during worship, you know, what do you want me to say? Fill my mouth. And the sense that I got was that when we're hurting, it's like a good father. He comes up and wants to comfort us. He wants to help us through. He wants to help us through the pain. There is an end to pain. There is a solution. There's a hope for us. He doesn't say, get it right, get up, dust yourself off, pick up your bootstraps. That's not a loving father. But He does ask us to do things that are hard, and He does ask us to do things that are difficult, but they're not impossible. Because with Jesus, all things are possible. So if you're in that place where you're having a hard time forgiving this morning, or if you have in that place where it's just like, Lord, I don't know, I keep feeling like I forgive, and I keep feeling like I let go, keep forgiving. Keep doing it because you can do it. Christ is our firm foundation. If Jesus went to the cross and He did what He did by laying His life down knowing that He had no sin, and He became sin, and He was utterly recognized, He was not recognizable because of the sin that He took, which was our sin, and His heart was open and was able to forgive. So I just want to lead you this morning, if you're finding yourself in that place, that we're just going to pray and release that person or people. Because I was also reminded of a time when I was in India and I was on a mission trip. PMP had led us through. There were some people there that were facing unforgiveness. And I was kind of shocked at first. I was like, wow, how can you be a Christian and yet not forgive? But it happens. And it was like the Holy Spirit led her through to that place of focusing on Jesus. The price that He paid, what he did at the cross, and then coming to a place in our heart where we're being honest with ourselves before the Lord, saying, this is something I'm struggling with, this is something I'm facing, but there's hope because you overcame, Jesus, by your blood and by your sacrifice, and I will too. And that's his promise that he has for you as his children. So we're just going to pray, and I'm going to give a, might have like a silent time just before you go before the Lord. If there is unforgiveness, that you can release that to the Lord. Okay? So Holy Spirit, I just thank you that you're so kind and that you're so good, that you leave us in repentance. You lead us. That you're gentle with us, but yet firm and strong. Father, I've had a hard time forgiving this person because of what's been done to me. I feel broken. I feel hurt. But I want to step in and I want to choose forgiveness because of what Jesus did at the cross. That I want to exalt Jesus and his victory in my life. That I want to praise him for what he's did as he sacrificed his life, as he became my sin, as he became the unjust that was done to my heart and my emotions, knowing that my emotions and my feelings will catch up. And you release healing to me. So Lord, by faith, I step in and I choose to forgive. This is your time before the Lord. Cleanses us from sin. As far as the east is from the west, you don't remember that. You don't remember our sins. So Lord, I just ask that you would release your healing power right now into our hearts, into our soul realm, into our minds, into our emotions. And just thank you, Lord, for your body that was broken, your blood that was shed to forgive us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for laying your life down, that I am found in Christ, my firm foundation, my hope on which I stand, the rock on which I stand, that when I'm shaken, I can stand on the rock of Christ and not be moved. So we thank you, Lord, for your power being released, that you did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and a sound mind, that by forgiving, we choose to love. Receive love and give love and walk in your power. So if you've done that, I bless you. And Lord, we sanctify these elements in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for your cross and the price that you paid and your sacrifice. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for helping us overcome. And thank you for being our firm rock, which we can stand on.
Just let everyone finish taking communion. Amazing. I love you so much. Jesus. There's nowhere I'd rather be than in your presence. More and more, Lord. Let us realize that how good you are. Let us come into your presence. Let us walk in your presence. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Well, our team is still in Poland. Right about now, they're going to be a part of the garden outreach at Pomelody and have some pictures and a message to share. Recognize the girl, one to the, you know, in the group, one to the left. That's Ashley. Don't know anyone else. Maybe I should, but I don't think so. But they're just, you know, constantly ministering. It's as you go. It's in a camp setting. And so people have come away to grow in their faith and be challenged and encouraged. And so I'm just going to share what they sent to kind of update us, go along with these pictures. Hello, Frontline family. We've been having a miraculous week here in Poland. Our team of four arrived at the Iris Europe Camp 2025 on Tuesday afternoon, meeting up with David, who'd already been having an incredible time here in Poland with the Weber family. They have already been participating in the camp since it had begun on Sunday. Together, the five of us saw the intentional, loving heart of God demonstrated this week as we ministered to and connected with so many kingdom people. Ooh, that lady's amazing. I'm sure the one in the hat is too, but yeah. Beautiful, amazing lady there. Not biased at all. As the loving heart of God demonstrated this week, as we ministered to and connected with so many kingdom people here from so many different nations, Pastor Bill and Pastor Maria Pat ministered through a main session and what they call back porch sessions, sharing about pressing into Jesus and having supernatural hearts of fire. So many people were encouraged and strengthened. Many new relationships were started and old connections strengthened, which will be used to further the gospel and for the future. We will very shortly, probably right now, be ministering at the garden outreach held at Adam and Anya's business property, Pomelody, with Mel Tari. Thanks for your prayers as we have seen the Lord move powerfully here the past 2 years. And there's Pastor Mary Pat praying over Adam, it looks like, and ministering in the fire, in the presence of fire, with marshmallows or hot dogs or bratwurst. I think they do a lot there. Kibasa, yes. Thanks for correcting me there. The Polish, resident Polish food. And then I'm going to move on. Pastor Bill, this is like the back porch sessions are outside and different groups meeting in different places, I think. Pastor Bill ministering. And Pastor Mary Pat. I think it's the next picture. I do have a question. Do you think you guys can finish what's happening up here? Give me an E. Give me a U. Give me an S. What's that spell? Jesus. Amen. So I could be wrong, but I very seriously think that we just nailed that with Mel Tari. So Papa Mel is actually preaching at this outdoor garden outreach party that's at their business site that our team's at as well. So here's the whole team, the Weber family, Adam and Anya, and then David and Pastor Mary Pat, Pastor Bill, Ashley, and my wife, Rachel. So thanks for your continued prayers. This week they're... my understanding is they're going to be going, being part of this evangelism discipleship and going out on the streets with the gospel there in Krakow, Poland. And then David is returning tomorrow night, and the rest of the team is going to be returning midnight Thursday, a.k.a. 2 o'clock my house is where I will have my wife coming, probably. So... there you go, Lamar. I wondered if Lamar was there or not, but he definitely is. Who is it? Manu's on the drums. He's Italian. incredibly anointed. Is there sound to this or no? And then we will move into the word. While they're trying to find the sound, I'll just share one or two more announcements. Obviously, we have Fire and Wind here Tuesday at 7 to 8:30. Hopefully, you can make it. Wednesday from 12 to noon or noon to 1 is the lunch hour anti-human trafficking prayer time. So there's information in the bulletin about that. And then there is Lighthouse Prayer this Friday from 7 to 9. And I'm going to be praying for our region and the nations here. So that's Friday, 7 to 9. And then also Friday and Saturday this week, if you're able to make it at all, there's a Let the Fire Fall conference. There's little flyers in the foyer that share about it. Frontline is going to be doing the Friday AM session for worship from 10 to 12 on Friday morning. And then there's the other sessions are listed. But the speakers are Pastor Ben and Jackie Kariuki, and also Reverend Joanne Moody, who's with Agape Freedom Fighters and also with Global Awakening, who we partner with Global Awakening. And so Reverend Joanne Moody, will be here next Sunday. So invite your friends to come. It's going to be awesome to have her here. And obviously our team will be back as well. So those are those announcements. Did we find the sound or... maybe we can play it at the end of service. It can be our end of service music as we wrap up. So today, I'm going to release the children to their classes and the youth. And today, Peter Groover is going to be sharing from the Word with us. So thank you, Peter. Come on up. And may the Lord speak through you.
Thanks, Troy. Well, this is a really cool privilege. You know, these are privileges that I've been dreaming of. I'm just going to be honest with you. I really have. But how many of you guys know that until the Word of God has been tested and tried inside of you, you can preach, you can try and preach, but it just holds so little weight. So this morning, I'm really going to try not to preach. I'm going to more try to testify and just testify the goodness of God, and really where I've grounded my hope in. And so I'm going to take you through maybe parts of my life that some of you don't know about, a history of my life, going back and just kind of taking you through a timeline and showing you where God's been faithful to me. And I've got scripture here as well that I'd like to read, but why don't we just go ahead and open in prayer and thank the Lord for his goodness and his presence. Lord, we just thank you so much. You are so lovely and so kind. Without your presence, there's really nothing. This is nothing. But with you, this is so sweet and so special. We're so deeply in love with you, Jesus. And we want to honor with you what we say, what comes out of our mouth. Lord, will you make the Word of God come alive? Holy Spirit, will you bring a certain conviction to our hearts this morning? Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, we bless our pastors. As you know, they're in Poland. And amazing. I get this call yesterday saying, hey, can you do the message tomorrow? I said, yeah, absolutely. And with a little bit more discussion, you know, they realized I'm leading worship too. Oh, is that going to be too much for you? No. No, not at all. Not at all. So, and it's not at all because God's goodness is really been made manifest in my life. There was once a period of time when I had a lot of anxiety. One particular time that's coming back to me, I was in college and I was in a speech class and I was presenting on a topic that I really didn't know or understand. And so I was very nervous. I was so nervous that I really couldn't even talk. Can you imagine that? No. I was so nervous that I couldn't even go through my cue cards, and my teacher at the time said, why don't you just go out on the hall, take a break, go get a Reese peanut butter cup, and, you know, the peanut butter will, you know, settle you down a little bit. I said, okay, I'll do that. And I came back in still trembling, and so I just read my cue cards. That's all I had. But God has done such a beautiful work in my life, and so I'm here to testify this morning of what he's done. And there's a passage in Romans that I want to start off with. It's in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5 and 8, and it says this: Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulation. I just want to stop there for a moment. We exult in our tribulation. Every one of us are going through difficult times at times. Some are very, very intense, and some are just there and they don't go away. But we rejoice in tribulation. These are the difficult times. And if you've ever walked through a difficult time, you'll know why you rejoice in them. If you've walked through a difficult time, I'll say it this way, and you have came out lighter than what you went in, meaning if you've gone through a time of tribulation and the burdens that were in your heart are finally able to be laid down and you come out lighter, you look back on those times and go, wow. There was a particular time, again, when I was in college, and I was in a studio apartment in Denver, right downtown, and my two brothers came to live with me. So it's not my idea, but they came anyway. They were sent, actually. So, but not the kind of sent that you want to be sent. They weren't sent with a message to the nations. They were sent because they were no longer tolerated where they were. So they got to live in my apartment. And there was a particular morning when I had to eat my oatmeal in the bathroom with the door closed because the spoon was too loud. And at that particular time, my younger brother would fly off the hinge regularly. And being the peacemaker that I am, I decided I'd rather not have a full-on argument that all my neighbors can hear before I go to school this morning. So I ate my oatmeal in the morning in the bathroom. When this season of time was over, I looked back on it and I thought, wow, I wouldn't trade that time for anything because I got to bond with my brothers in a way like I never would have. It was really remarkable. It was the grace of God. When you go through a difficult time and you come through lighter, you look to those times and you think, man, sometimes you want them to continue because there's so much being developed inside of you that it wouldn't be developed otherwise, right? Man, I'm getting a lot of witness in here. I'm getting witness through your silence. I understand. I get it. So we're going to continue. We know that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Yeah. There was a time during COVID when I was trying to quote this scripture to my neighbor. You know how we kept our distance? You know, we talked to each other from our porches, our back porches. I was so lonely. I was just really wanting to connect with people. And so my neighbor was out in the back porch, and I'm having a little time of worship because we couldn't meet together. Remember those first few weeks? We weren't meeting together. And so I'm on my back porch and I've got my phone and I'm playing worship music and I'm just like, I don't care who hears me. I'm just going to sing out loud. This is my time, you know? And my neighbor comes out and I began to talk to her about the love of God being poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit. But for me, it was the love of God was poured out through Christ in the earth. And it's this love of God. And how many times have you tried to share the gospel with somebody, but you just feel your words falling flat? Yeah, me too, many times. And till recently, actually, I came through a time when I really just didn't understand the gospel. It was very fragmented to me. I could look at the scriptures and go, there's the gospel, it's in this context and that context, and I never could bring it into a single message until recently. And I believe that I couldn't bring it into a single message until recently because I just had so much judgment in my heart. And it was judgment that was really quite hidden. Many of you would look at me and go, judgment? I didn't see that. Because it was hidden deep in my soul in an area of woundedness that I didn't like to surface, right? When there's pain in our hearts, we don't want it to surface, whether it's recent pain or old pain. We just don't want it to surface. It's almost like we started juicing again at our home, and we're learning quite a bit about the acidity of our bodies. I'm gonna go somewhere with this. I promise. Okay. Did you guys know that your body produces fat cells to capture extra acidity, stores it away? What happens to your body if it's too acidic? Has anybody in here ever had an ulcer in their stomach, or what's that called? Acid reflux, right? Heartburn. Your body actually, as a protective mechanism, creates fat cells to lock away this acidity, especially when you just keep giving it or it just keeps producing it. Your body can't function with this. So as a mechanism, as a coping mechanism, it stores it away. Well, in the same way, when we have unforgiveness in our hearts, when we have judgment in our hearts, and I'm talking about judgment for me, it was 40 years old, okay? 40 years old. I'm only 49, you guys. Okay? 40 years old, had a lot of coping to do. And so my soul was trying to cope with that. And as a result, it would try to hide it away. But how many of you guys know things hidden don't stay hidden for long? Right? For me, I used to be a person that I would tolerate, and then boom, I'd blow up. I was a volcano. I learned this when I lived in Oregon. Another fellow Oregonian here. I was living out in this city called Gresham, and had a beautiful view of Mount Hood. Okay, Mount Hood is this glorious glacial cap mountain, this beautiful peak surrounded by green forest. It's amazing. And there are times I could still smell the forest. is that ingrained in me? I'm in Gresham, Oregon, and it was there I began to realize that I didn't really know the Father. I just didn't know him. And I had been coping for so long up to that point. I was in my 20s. And I was going through a particular class. It was called Shame to Grace. And in that class, I began to learn really the finished work of the cross. It was my first introduction to the finished work of the cross. But what I began to discover in the midst of that was I'm a venter. I vent only so long, and then I blow up. And Mount Hood is a venting mountain. It vents because it's a volcano. And just 60 miles north is another volcano you guys know of called Mount St. Helens. Well, it tremored. There were earthquakes. It vented. And then it stopped venting. But the earthquakes kept coming. How many of you guys can imagine when a volcano stops venting but there's still tremors? What do you think is about to happen? I was 4 years old that day when that mountain blew up. The whole side of it just melted away and boom! And it blew ash into the air. I still remember it. I watched what looked like a thunderstorm grow into the sky. But it was a plume of ash, 20,000 feet into the air, and then just began to stretch out all across the atmosphere. That ash went all the way around the world. Had that volcano not erupted, the tremors would have continued. It had to erupt. I had to erupt. And most recently, I had an eruption, but it was one of the last eruptions I've experienced in 9 months. What happened was that judgment that was so deeply rooted inside of my soul came to the surface for one last time. And when it came to the surface, I almost left. It was that close. Maybe only my closest friends know how deep it was. But when it came to the surface, I was confronted with love. This is the hope we have, okay? This is the hope we have. Why is that hopeful? When you have something deeply inside of you that finally comes to the surface and it's confronted with real love, why is that hopeful? Freedom is the result. That's right. We're not meant to hold on to this stuff. God didn't create us this way. So it has to surface. Amen? So the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want to go to the book of Jeremiah. And many of you guys are familiar with the verse Jeremiah 29:11. I recently gave this word to a friend of mine who had not really heard it, or maybe not heard it in context. So I thought it was fitting this morning to include this in here. Now, we know the verse Jeremiah 29:11, okay? What is it? I have for you, declares the plans to give you welfare, not to harm you, to bring you into a more hopeful place, okay? We know that. We know that scripture, and we can quote it quite easily. But I want to take you to verse 1 and give you a little bit of context to that passage. And it says this: Now these are the words of the letter which Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the rest of the elders of the exile, the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. To give you a little bit of context, Jeremiah was the only true prophet of the day. There were many other prophets who were saying this, who were saying that. How many of you guys remember through COVID and President Trump had been ousted, right? It'd been, you know, there'd been that election fraud. And we had a lot of voices saying, he's coming back, he's coming back, he's going to be reinstated, reinstated, reinstated. But it didn't happen until the second term. Jeremiah was in a day just like that, where there are many people who are saying, no, the exile is going to over. It's going to be over. It's going to be over. All the kings, the queen mother, all the princes, they're all coming back within 2 years. Didn't happen, because God had a different plan. He had a plan through Babylon. And we know that looking back on it, but no one knew that going into it, because it was going to be a very difficult time. I mean, it's already a difficult time for Israel because they've been going like this, up and down, with God, without God, with God, without God. It was a horrible roller coaster. I remember the first time I ever read through that sequentially, and it was like a stock market drop. It just went, they just kept going down, 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 down. The stock just kept dropping until they were completely bankrupt. And it was at that point when God said, now. And Jeremiah had been prophesying about it, but everyone was saying, oh, no, 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 no. Jeremiah doesn't know what he's saying. This is what's going to happen. There's going to be peace, 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 peace. Return, 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 return. But how do you guys know that wasn't God's plan? In the same way, if you've got stuff hidden inside of your soul that wants to stay hidden, and you're saying, no, 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 I'm good, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. God says, no, you're not. And I'm going to surface it. And when I do, I'm going to confront it with love, because it's got to go. Amen? Amen. We're going to move forward into Jeremiah 29:5-7, and then 10-14. So this is Jeremiah's word to the exiles. They're in a foreign country being ruled by pagans. I mean, Israel was basically pagan at that point anyway. Very few of them were actually holding to the law. Very few of them were enjoying the presence of God. So they're in a foreign place, and they don't want to be there. But this is what the word of the Lord said. And this is where our hope comes from. Build houses and live in them, and plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters, and take wives for your daughters, and multiply there, and do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. Oh. Did you get that? sent them into exile to teach them how to pray for their enemies. That's huge. How many of you have tried to pray for your enemies, but secretly inside of your heart, you have unforgiveness towards them? How effective are your prayers? Typically, not. Right? We can go through these religious sequences and maybe feel a little bit good at the end, but at the end, you're like, man, my prayers just didn't hold any weight, and there's nothing happening as a result of them. What's going on? God wants to get rid of the unforgiveness, the judgment. He does that through mercy. And he's showing his mercy both to the Israelites and also to the people in Babylon. Seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will have welfare. It's kind of like this put it into context for me for the first time. What's the passage? I think it's in Titus, where it says, basically, honor the leaders that God has put in there. Even if they're wicked rulers, Babylon, here's the context of that. Pray for them, because in praying for them, it increases your welfare, your well-being. But this people, they had 70 years. God was going to take them through a time of judgment, 70 years. So you go in as a child, Daniel, and you come out a grown, fully grown man. Wow. The process that he must have went through. You know, we know somebody in India, we call him Pastor Benjamin. Some of you have met him. And I remember when I first came across his writings, I was on a trip in 2012, and we were at Meshava. How many of you guys were in Meshava with me in 2012? Anybody? In spirit, were you guys there? Okay. I'm like, Mike, were you there with me? No. And PMP was sharing a letter that he wrote to us. And I felt like I was being read a version of the book of Romans. It was just so profound. This guy went through such deep persecution where his life was spared multiple times on the verge of death. And he came through with love, a deep conviction of love. I thought, wow, what is this kind of love? Who is he? I know who he's talking about, but how in the world did he arrive at this conclusion? This is profound. And I just wanted to hear more and more and more. Do you know why I wanted to hear more and more? My soul was longing for this truth. I wanted to live this truth. Do you know the year 2012 was one of the best trips I've ever been on until this last one? It was so beautiful. I was in a place in my life where I was experiencing stability. And I went through the trip. I felt like a real leader on that trip. It was amazing all the way through. I just didn't have any hiccups or, you know, those little things that just cringe inside of you when you're asked to do something that you just don't want to do. And it reveals that judgment or that unforgiveness inside. Man, so good. Yeah. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. Back to this place being Israel. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you. I love that. I will be found by you. Man. And I will restore your fortunes. I remember the first time I came across verse 14, and I'll restore your fortunes. Wow. That's tremendous. I'm not just going to bring you back into your land, but I'm going to restore your fortunes. Wow. Fortunes. There is, I'm just getting by. Or no, let's go lower. There's, I'm not getting by. I'm just getting by. I've got some saved up. Yep. I've got enough to sustain my lifestyle. I have wealth that I could pass to my kids. But then there's fortunes. The way I like to describe fortunes is I have multiple companies that are merging with other companies to become even larger. I have more than me or my family could ever imagine spending in a lifetime or two. Fortunes, revenue streams that are so massive that they can sustain cities. I'm going to restore your fortunes. I look at this and I go, wow. You know, we sang a little bit this morning about generations. When you see yourself today and you look at yourself, you can see yourself only in your present time, where you are currently. But some of you are holding on to prophetic words, aren't you, about your future? And they look a lot better than it looks now, doesn't it? There's a hopeful expectation that the prophecy has given to you, right? There's one that my wife and I hold on to, and there was a difficult time in our life financially, and we were in our home. We were just beginning to have the girls. And how many of you guys know that when you have kids, they are not just expensive in diapers and food, but there's something called daycare. We did not account for daycare. Otherwise, we wouldn't have started that renovation process in our house. We would have saved our money for daycare. But we didn't. So naturally, in my mind, I began to think, well, I guess it's time to move to a neighborhood that we can afford. And my natural thinking, I was thinking, well, let's do this. We'll sell our house, take the equity we have, buy a house that we can just pay, just cash. We'll fix it up and do it right. I get a nod from a person in here. You know, it's like, yeah, that's a good plan. That's a good plan. I thought it was a good plan, too, until the Lord said this to me. Would you consider staying in your home? Because I want to make it a resting place for my glory. Yeah, I'll consider staying. You want to make it a resting place for your goodness? You want your goodness to be seen? Okay. Now, how many of you guys know when a prophetic word goes into you and you say yes to, it then puts you in a process, right? Because if my home is going to be a resting place of glory, then my kids can't be stressed out by me. I remember the night that I got set free last November. My oldest, she said, Daddy, when you come back home, will you not come back grumpy? I'll try. Because when I left that night, I was scared to death. Because the judgment inside of me was right at the surface, and it was trembling in its boots. It was terrified that it was about to be discovered, and it was going to be packing. So I went into that meeting, my wife with me, and I was hard as steel, guys. You know that look when your eyes are just angry. Yet, when you're angry and you're confronted with love and patience and wisdom, there's really, judgment has no hope in that kind of environment. Amen? Can we go back to the juicing analogy? Let's go back to the juicing analogy. When we started juicing, usually juicing, it just shoots nutrients into your body that absorb right away into your bloodstream. Food just doesn't do that. It takes time to process and break down and go through intestines. Your intestines absorb it, all that stuff. But when you juice, the micronutrients are absorbed right into your body, okay? And when you start doing that, over the course of time, your body goes, something's different here. I'm getting an excess amount of nutrients, And you are lowering the acidity of my function here. I think it's time to let go of some of these fat cells. The reality is the fat cells just start burning off. And those toxins inside those fat cells are released. Many of you guys are familiar with detoxing, okay? You ever gone through a detox, you realize that all that stuff that was inside of you that was hidden away starts to surface. It's the same thing when judgment is exposed by love and patience and wisdom. And when you're in an environment where you're constantly being exposed to love and patience and kindness, mercy and wisdom, these things begin to surface. And at first, it may look bad. Maybe you get some skin condition that you just didn't quite have at first. Like, what is this? I'm putting good stuff in me. Why is this stuff coming out? It's your body going, I finally get rid of this. And your skin is the largest organ in your body, and it's going to present itself there. In the same way that your body attached to your soul can't help but reveal what's really going on. I like to look at this as the mercy of God. Sin can't hide inside of me because my body shows it. Now, some of you that know me for a long time would say, oh yeah, Pete wears his emotions on his sleeve. That used to be something that people would know me by. Oh, he wears his emotions on his sleeve. I would just speak unfiltered. People would say, oh yeah, he's saying what I'm thinking. And I used to wear that as a badge of honor. But when I got free, I realized that that was not helpful to anybody. And I had to reconcile that with the Father. But here's the thing. When I got free, it was no longer an effort to not do that. Because when I got free of judgment, mercy started to rise. Okay? Can you pull up that passage, mercy triumphs over judgment? And let's read that together. Because we all know that mercy triumphs over judgment, if you've read the passage. But there's a few words that follow that that I want to focus in on. I don't think I included it in my notes. There we go. James 2:13. Is that a life verse? Come on. If it's not, you know, let it be. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Let me know when it's up. Mercy triumphs over judgment. You know, we are all in this place where we're saying, okay, God, I know what judgment looks like. I know what it feels like. And I know what it does to my relationships. I know what it does between you and I. But I'm not so sure I know what your mercy looks like. I want to know what your mercy looks like. There was a period of time when I was going through what I was going through where really the cry of my heart was, God, I know what's wrong because my conscience tells me what's wrong. And that's not a problem, but I don't know how to do the right thing. Also in James, I believe there's a passage that says, to him who knows what the right thing is to do and doesn't do it, that's sin to him. And sin separates us. So I'm crying out to the Lord, saying, Lord, I know what is wrong. My conscience is telling me that, but I'm struggling to know what the right thing is to do with my life. What am I supposed to do with my life? Because as a kid, I had been told, some of you don't know this story, but I was born dead. I was born with the umbilical cord wrapped around my neck tightly 3 times. And my mom and dad didn't feel any movement for 3 days before I was born. And there was this prophetic word on my life that bewildered me for a long time, really until recently. My mom had a miscarriage just prior to me, so I'm a rainbow baby, right? And she was contending for more children. She was still in her mid-30s. And even though she'd already had 8 children up to that point, she was still contending for more. Bless her heart. She loved having children. And there was a woman who gave my mom a prophetic word. And she said this. She said, you're going to be pregnant again. And this time it's going to be a boy. And he's going to be a prophet unto his God. The words unto his God bewildered me for a long time. As an adult, I searched the scriptures over and over again to find a prophet who was unto his God. That's old King James language, I understand, but still, the word unto, I couldn't reconcile until recently. Now what that word means to me is that I'm one who ministers to the heart of God through my love and affection. Okay? I am put on this earth to minister to the heart of God. And that's not exclusive. We know that because there's an entire movement in Kansas City that's focused on that day and night, where they minister to the heart of God. I remember the first time I went to Kansas City, and they had this large conference, this big, big place. And I'm there, and there's amazing speakers, and there's amazing worship on the stage, but people kept telling me, you gotta go to the prayer room. Have you been to the prayer room? You gotta go to the prayer room. And I'm thinking to myself, why in the world would I want to go to a prayer room? I like worship. I don't want to pray. That's boring. Until I went to the prayer room. Oh my goodness. It was the house of worship. It was people interceding to the Lord with song and intercession 24/7. And I remember I took my backpack and I laid in the back and I just laid there and I felt like I was home. This is amazing. This is prayer. I want to understand what this is about. But it wasn't until I got freed of judgment, criticism, that I began to see how much the Father really loves me. That's our hope. And God will release prophetic words into your life to draw you forward in your timeline. Amen? There it is. To draw you forward in your timeline, to bring you into hope. For judgment will be merciless to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. It's still not in there, so I'm going to look it up. Mercy triumphs over judgment. This is James. Tell me the passage again. 2:13. Must have been another translation. Must have been another translation. It was so beautiful. This small little thing in there. Yeah. Well, Father, we just thank you for that anyhow. I want to go to another passage, and it's in Luke. It's the portion where Jesus is showing himself to the disciples. And Peter is called out. Remember, by love, God restores him in love. Technology is great until it fails. Okay, you remember when Peter, he denied Jesus 3 times. And then he goes off and he says, okay, I'm done. Clearly, I misinterpreted who this Messiah was. I'm done. I've given 3 years of my life. It didn't end the way I thought it would. And anyway, he's dead anyway. Even though people are saying he's alive, I've not seen him. So he goes back to his profession, right? But then Jesus, the Lord, calls from the shoreline. And the one next to Peter says, it's the Lord. Peter puts on his cloak, whatever that means, and he dives in the water, and he meets Jesus at the shore. There's this passage in there, and it says, and nobody bothered to ask if it was him. The risen Savior was so incredibly beautiful, they didn't recognize him. He'd been changed into an incredible glory. Then he began to restore Peter, didn't he? Began to restore him. But then there was something that he said to Peter in Luke. He said, when you've gone and you've been strengthened, now go strengthen your brothers. There's a hope that happens inside of us when you get rid of the deep-rooted judgments that makes you a strength to people around you. that are going through it as well. This is tremendous. This is a hope that we have. This is the hope of our calling. Amen? Man, when we go through it, you know, it's like, because otherwise we're just going from high place to low place, high place to low place. Oh, man, I'm in a high place. And then, boom, you're into a low place. You're like, man, what do I do now? But when you get rid of, and when I say get rid of, I'm talking the work of the Holy Spirit, okay? As I've looked over my timeline, I thought, man, Lord, how did I get to this place where I finally got free? What happened? And he continues to remind me of little moments where he began to enlighten something inside of me, but ultimately bringing me to that place. Yeah. Thank you, Father. Ah, we just thank you, Jesus. Yeah, we thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Well, Father, we just thank you so much for your words. Just thank you, God, for what you're doing in our lives and our body. Thank you, Father, that you're bringing us through tribulation and trials, and developing hope inside of us. Father, I thank you that in this season you are exposing beautiful things. Wow, it's beautiful, your exposure. But you're exposing deep things inside of us that we've maybe carried around for a long time. And you're allowing them to come to the surface so they can be dealt with. Father, we thank you for the words that you've given us, those life words that we come back to. Having sifted through the enemy's attempts on us, we come back, Lord, and we see that you've spoken your word into us, and it's brought life into us. Yes, Lord, we're so thankful for this life. So thankful for this life. Thank you, Jesus. There's a word that I want to share with you guys that was sent to me this morning from Rachel. And I'd love for there to be an activation with this, but we'll see what the Holy Spirit does, okay? So we heard that that Meltari was with another heavy hitter in the faith recently. Maybe you haven't heard that. But Meltari was sharing at the camp. And he was recently with Chuck Pierce, who's a heavy hitter when it comes to the prophetic. And wow, Chuck Pierce, man. This prophetic vision, so Meltari had a prophetic vision and also an activation. This is what it says. Papa Mel shared a profound prophetic word with the Iris Europe camp yesterday during the final evening session. He shared with us that prior to arriving at our camp, he was at a meeting with Chuck Pierce, shared a word declaring that the time is here for Europe. It is here and it is now, all capital letters. We had heard this word shared in greater detail this past February at Europe Shall Be Saved. Papa Mel also shared with us a vision the Lord gave him. I get this. He saw the Father's throne room with fire. He saw a big, red, burning heart of fire coming down from the Father's throne. He saw a gold cross dripping with blood in the center of the fiery heart. As the heart came down, it came toward the European nations. Then the image focused in, and he saw Poland as it is positioned in the middle of Europe. Then it zoomed in more, and he saw the heart coming toward Iris Europe Camp 2025. Then the burning heart hit a person, each person at the camp individually, and the face disappeared, and the person became the temple of God. Many rivers of living water came from the temple. The rivers consisted of three parts: water, oil, and fire. The water was teeming with fish. It was a plentiful harvest. The river's water watered trees who had fruit in every season and leaves for the healing of the nations. Sounds like the book of Revelation. But this is the temple. These are the rivers coming out of us, out of them. When this fiery heart, this fiery cross, touched people. What is the fiery cross? It's the Spirit of God in Christ Jesus. And when he touches you, you're different. You can't help it. You look back on your person and think, who was that person? I don't even recognize them. The way they thought and the way I think now are two completely different worlds. These rivers carried the water, oil, and fire to every nation. With this vision, Papa Mel prophesied that this is the time for the grand finale generation. Remember that? The grand finale. We are the grand finale generation. You missed that one. You'll hear it again when he comes back. Papa Mel prophesied that this is the time for the grand finale generation and that Poland is at the center. Wow. Oh, I love this. Wow. Go ahead, stand. Just come and line up in the front. The Lord wants to release something. Thank you, Jesus. So beautiful. Just go ahead, just put your hands out. Hear this? From Poland, it will reach the European Union and then the rest of the world. Just take a moment and receive that. Where's the rest of the world, guys? We're part of the rest of the world. There's a move of the Holy Spirit coming. And my heart is deeply convicted that it's going to come through personal repentance and laying down judgments. From that place, you will receive personal revival. I believe that the Holy Spirit is starting a revival in our hearts personally. As laborers, we will be laborers in this harvest. The fish that are in this river, it's teeming with fish. The fish are the souls, the people and the nations, the people groups. The time for Europe is here, and we are a part of it. We are a part of it. Father, I thank you for the tribulations that we face in life. They have proven to produce character. And ultimately, character produces hope. Because we start looking like you. And this world needs you. Just declare out, this world needs you, Jesus. We're going to invite the Holy Spirit right now to do a deep work in your heart. Because it's only by the Spirit that you can get free of judgment and criticism and accusation. But he is so longing. He wants nothing more than you to be completely free. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So we're going to pray out loud. Holy Spirit, I invite you to come. And breathe on me. I invite your touch deep in my soul to touch the areas of my heart that have remained hidden. I give you permission to bring it all to the surface in your perfect time. And when you do, will you have people who are love, who are patient, who are kind, who are full of wisdom, to be there with me, to help me pray through and get completely free, so that I can be completely available in every way to this beautiful move that's coming out of Poland. Just go ahead and stay there and let the Lord do the work that He's going to do. I'm just going to have a time in this worship where the Lord can move and do what He wants to do. Some of you are going to experience something profound, while others of you may not experience anything, but you will experience something. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. When we get free, we go from this view to a much closer view. And the more free we get, the closer we get to people. They're the prize. They're Jesus' inheritance. You guys, He intercedes for them with deep groanings. What He's doing in the earth today, He's awakening us to love. We can't help it. He loves us too much to leave us where we are. Right? Because there's people out there that literally don't know, and they're longing for the truth. And they're all over. There's billions of them. And the more free we get, the more we're compelled to go into those nations and reach those people with the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's no longer an argument. It's no longer a debate. It's the love of God being poured out through the Holy Spirit. The whole earth will be filled with the glory of God. The knowledge of the glory of God will fill the earth like the oceans fill the seas. The oceans fill the earth. The waters fill the oceans. Father, we just dedicate this time to you. We're so thankful for who you are and what you've done, for everything new that you have coming. We bless your holy name, Jesus. And as we go from this place, we go with a yearning and a longing for more. We just want more. We want more of you, Jesus. You paid the price so we could have more. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, thank you for doing the beautiful work in us. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your holy name. You're free to go as you feel led. Be blessed. Look forward to hearing what God's doing. Amen.
As you're going, we wanted to make sure that everybody marks their calendars for September 13th. Saturday, September 13th is Freedom Cry here at Frontline Worship Center, starting at 8:30 a.m. and going till 4 p.m. Please plan to be here the whole day. It's going to be incredible. The Lord is putting together just an incredible panel of speakers to impart to us and invite people. The Lord will bring opportunities, and it's a ministry opportunity because we're going to talk about Jesus, and we're going to talk about how, you know, he's setting people free of trafficking, but also every year, people, ourselves included, are brought to more of a knowledge of the freedom that's in Christ. So, again, September 13th, we just got another speaker that the Lord supernaturally connected us with. His name is Bruce Latibu. He signed on without hesitation. He's started Children's Rescue Initiative. He's been involved in this since the 90s. He's rescued over, I think, 2,500 children around the world and in the U.S. He's a former military person who then just really amazing, incredible testimony. He's got Navy SEALs on his board. I mean, they go into some of the deepest, darkest places rescuing children, and here in the U.S. as well. He loves Jesus. He's filled with the Spirit. He moves in. I mean, he knows Iris Ministries. This is like, you know, somebody that the Lord... And I don't even know how he does it, but every year it's like he connects us. He's coming from Pennsylvania, and I talked with him on behalf of the pastors who are in Poland, and that conversation was just such a God connection. He's doing work in Ghana right now, where they've rescued, I think, like 30 children in the Volta region out of trafficking. But just real heart connection, and he, even on the call, was just like, I'll make this work. I feel like this is a God thing, and he's a nationally recognized person. So, and we also have Dr. Marlene Carson coming back. How many heard her last year? She was she's from Columbus, Ohio. She was a victim overcomer of trafficking herself. She was appointed by Trump in his first term to be on the National State Department Human Trafficking Task Force, and has been a leader in our country and also locally here in Ohio, both on anti-human trafficking but in the pro-life arena. And she's even working on border things and AI and very cutting-edge stuff. She loves Jesus, so she's coming. And then Senator Christine Rogner, also Ohio State Senator, who's going to be running for Ohio State Treasurer. She has incredible things to share in the realm of trafficking, even things she's seen in the foster care system, and then also her strong pro-life stance. She was the one who got the heartbeat bill with the power of the Holy Spirit pushed through. And so she's another person who's connected deeply and I know your mom and dad are out at a family function for them and just been a real heart connection, but she wanted to be part of this. So these are heavy hitters in the natural, but in the spirit as well. And then our own pastors, Bill and Pastor Mary Pat, and then potentially someone else from local law enforcement. So this is an opportunity to, I mean, this place is going to be totally transformed. Invite people. If they don't know the Lord, don't just invite them. Because it's going to be incredible. It's a compelling reason to come, but then the Lord's going to touch their hearts as they're here. So let's get people. And when you pray for connections, I just had two at the gym where two people of great influence were just really interested and want to promote this, and it was just a simple bringing it up at the gym, and the Lord's doing so much through that, even with someone who may potentially be in a vulnerable situation right now. So it's the Holy Spirit's work, so just invite people, ask the Lord for creative ways to do that, because we need to get the people here. We need them to know about it, because the Lord's doing something really special. So thanks for hearing me out there, but if you want to talk more or hear anything more, please grab me or Rachel Larson when she comes back, and we'd be happy to share.